Welcome to the 100 Club, otherwise known as FPL Pod. After a bumper game week 37, it's time for the final push. We're going all out on attack as we target triple Arsenal and City, and some of us are risking it while others are being boring. Well, 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 this is it, the final week. It all comes down to this. This is the game week 38 FPL Pod previewing, well, game week 38, as you probably guessed. What a game week 37 it was, though, and we'll discuss that first. Of course, I'm in the company once again of Ian Irving, Sam Bonfield and Julian Laron. We normally start with the highest scorer, but that would be awkward because that's me. I got 148 points. There's not been many opportunities for me to gloat this season, and I'm not going to start now. I think the second top scorer was it you, Jules?
I've got 131. I'm not sure how the other.
I think it was me, actually, Kel.
Well, for once.
Sorry, yeah. I off the top of my head, I thought because of your minus points. Yes, it was. You beat Jules by 2 points. However, you took minus four.
Yeah.
Oh, so you didn't beat me.
So you didn't.
Well, no, hang on, because what is it you always say, Jules? It doesn't come off your game week total, it comes off your overall point.
Okay. So, you know. When it suits you, yeah.
When it suits me, I'll take that.
Okay, so who wants to talk about their game week first? Sam, you go for it, because you seem happier.
Thing is, Kels, you and I were on for an absolute stormer, weren't we?
We were going to be in the 150 club until I love Danny Welbeck. Played
for
Watford, so I won't say anything against him. But when he scored, wow. I'm sure we weren't the only ones cursing him. Yeah, go on, Sam, discuss your game week.
Yeah, it was going really well until Danny Welbeck decided to take out my double Chelsea clean sheet right at the death of that game, which frustrated me no end. I rolled the dice again this week because, you know, why not? And it's caught me up a bit on Ian. I think there's like 3 points in it now, Ian. So it's getting tight heading into the final game. But yeah, I captained Isak, had to watch Haaland score a brace from the Tottenham Hotspur stands on Tuesday evening, which didn't fill me with joy. Sold Gusto for Cucurella because Reece James was back and thought that would go well. Gusto went off and kept his clean sheet. Oh, it was a tale of woe, but still got 133 points this week. So the rest of them did really, really well, mostly thanks to Vardiol, of course, and Kelly. I was so raging with you on Saturday.
I knew you were going to WhatsApp me. I knew it. And I also messaged Ian before and I was panicking about this transfer. I heard the Kyle Walker rumours and just panicked. It genuinely wasn't blocking you. And I did say that to you straight away because it wasn't. Mm. It was because I thought, I think City could go big this game week and I don't want to miss out. So I did Walker to Gvardiol. And then Ian went to me, yeah, well, I think Gvardiol will get arrested midweek. And I was like, oh, I didn't even think about that. but it did pay off. Ian, we haven't heard from you yet. Go on, tell us about your game week because I'm enjoying this battle between you and Sam.
Yeah, it was all right. No more than that, really, to be honest. I just feel a bit underwhelmed by it.
Isn't that mad when you got 129 points that you're underwhelmed?
Yeah, just because, well, a number of things. I mean, mainly Adam Webster. I mean, you know, I put so much into the lad, didn't I?
Ian, that's the reason we got you back this week, to discuss Adam Webster.
To take the mickey out of you, a great pick, really a great choice.
Adam. Are you still in the fan club,
3 points
or not?
Well, the
newsletter
is going out again this week. So, you know, I could just for the hell of it start him again in game week 38 and see what happens. But yeah, in the end, I think I managed to drag about 15,000 people along to be new owners of Adam Webster. And all I can do is apologise, to be honest.
You should.
Yeah, I should. Yeah. other than that, it's just standard stuff, really. We, you know, captained Erling Haaland, that was fine. Missed out on the Vardiol points. I mean, I think people did get quite fortunate with the Nathan Aké injury because when City have lined up this season against, you know, fairly attacking teams and certainly ones with fast right wingers, it's been Nathan Aké who started left back and not Vardiol. But that wouldn't matter anyway because he absolutely smashed it in the first game. And that was a brilliant transfer, Kelly. What's this about just bringing in defenders who score as well, by the way?
Joel Veltman, hello.
Can't believe you didn't go Webster.
Some of us went for the right Brighton defender. What can I say? Also, it was more lucky because I wasn't properly following the games at that time because I've got a child that I also have to care for. And sometimes
you never mentioned
I dip in and out of it. And I hadn't noticed that he'd scored. And so when we were in the WhatsApp group and I was like, oh, I've just seen that Joel Veltman's gone off. And Sam was like, but he scored. You can't be annoyed about that. And I was like, oh, I missed that. Jules.
Thank you. 131 points. The name that I never want to hear ever again is obviously Josko Gvardiol, because as you know, I was going to bring him in and it was my differential as well, one of the last few weeks. And for some mad reason, I went for Kyle Walker, which is not bad. It's not a bad pick, I have to say.
You were lucky.
I was lucky this time, but still Walker was not bad picked and he got me some points, but not as many points as Gvardiol has in the last 2 weeks. So that has really hurt because it's a 14-point swing between Walker to Gvardiol. So obviously my week would have been even better if I had gone for Gvardiol, like I said I would 3 weeks ago, and before changing my mind to Kyle Walker. But apart from that, it's been really good. I brought Vicario in for Leno, thinking that at least against Burnley, I could trust Tottenham and Vicario to get something good.
Sam's face says it all.
They are just such a bad team, defensively especially, that, I mean, 4 points.
He got you a save point.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Jules, you need to talk about Mal Augusto as well, because this sums up your season, doesn't it? You start a player.
Such a good point, Ian. I'm so glad you brought that.
What do you mean?
Who's not even guaranteed to play either game, considering he's not been in the starting lineup and Chelsea have been doing well.
Okay, the only reason why he was not playing before was illness. As soon as he was back, not ill anymore, he was never in doubt. He would not start. I don't know why.
Did he start the first game?
Mal Augusto. He was ill. I mean, he just came back from illness. So that's why.
Come back from illness or he was ill.
Yeah.
I mean, they're two very different things, aren't they?
Come on. Reece James was back.
Then he starts the second game, gets his assist, gets his clean sheet because he's
so
taken
annoying.
Off before Brian scores.
Because he's come back from illness, he was not fully fit to play 90 minutes, but he could play 69.
I mean, this is a wide-reaching illness that's affecting about 8 game weeks.
The worst bit, listen, I knew he was going to play to start with. Secondly, when he
Jules
gave
knows
away,
everything.
When I thought he gave away that penalty at the start of the second half, which, by the way, was a penalty not given because they didn't give the first one to Cucurella, I was like, don't do this, Malo. And it was all good. So, and when he got 3 bonus points as well, I was like, come on, my boy, 13
Unbelievable.
Points.
Because Cucurella was on for the 3 bonus points before that Welbeck goal went in. And I was like, this is great.
But you should have kept Gusto. You should have asked me. I would have
told
you.
Thanks, Jules. Thanks. I appreciate
it. Okay, just to recap, because it sounds like we're a bit down on our game weeks, but I think we should all be really happy, even him with his 129 points. Might be the worst of the four of us, but
thanks, Kelly.
It wasn't bad going.
Thanks.
Well, it's just a mad game week. In fact, I'm not going to say it was the worst. It was a joint worst because Sam did take that -4.
Oh,
so
brilliant.
The basement battle continues.
It's okay.
I'm joking. I'm almost as close to Jules now as I am to Sam, I think.
Battle to the bottom.
Wow.
Stay tuned.
Just to reinforce how well all of us did this week. And this is not, I didn't write these in just because I did so much better than the rest of you, but I'm going to say it.
Did.
My game week rank was 61,289. I'm actually delighted because I'm nearly in the top 50K now, which is somewhere that I never thought I'd be. I started the game week around 82K, I think it was. Sam's game week rank was second best, 520,000 in the world. Jules, 611,000 in the world. And Ian, 715,000.
We've never
in
given
the
game week rank ever this season.
No,
but
because
we do it just because Kelly did so well.
No,
and
I don't
Ian,
like this.
And to shame Ian because he was like,
terrible.
I like Ian. I'm not shaming Ian.
To be fair, Jules, I wrote
disrespect.
That in because they're really
you,
good.
But I won't shame Ian.
It's not often that we're all inside the top million for game week rank. That's why I wrote them in.
See, Sam gives me the notes for the script.
Sometimes
I ignore Sam, but when things like that are in, I don't ignore it. No, I'm joking. So just to tell you where we are with our mini league, as mentioned, I made up a bit of ground on Jules. I'm not going to catch him. I'd have to have the most ridiculous game week of my life, and also completely different players, which isn't going to happen. Jules is obviously still top, 2,517 points, an overall rank of 6,310. Jules, what are you targeting now? Top 5K?
Yeah, ideally that would be great. Yeah, I mean, again, Gvardiol would have taken me there, but I think I have to move on from Gvardiol or bring him in for game week 38. But yeah, top 5 would be fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm 51,031. My new aim, I was just hoping for top 100K, but now I'm hoping that I can sneak into that top 50K. I'm on 2,449 points. That is 68 points behind Jules. Never going to catch him, but it's nice to be within 100 points of you for once. Ian is then third in the mini league. His rank is 192,240, which we've banged this drum so many times. It's pretty remarkable for where he's come from. 2,379 points, and that's 70 points behind me. And then Sam is just 3 points behind Ian. So 8,000 between the two of them, yet only 3 points. It's so incredibly tight. Sam, are you aiming for that top 200K?
Yeah.
So angry about it.
That's so bad.
Sam's aiming to finish above me, Kelly.
I mean, the top 1 million?
That is exactly what my aim is now, Ian.
Wow, so, that is the battle. That is really what everybody would care about.
100%. Going into...
Have you given up on me?
Yeah, I've given up on you. shouldn't keep banging on about that Chelsea clean sheet, but I was at 166K when that Chelsea clean sheet was standing, and I was like, this is perfect. And it was like the 97th minute, and I was like, right, that's done. Like, that's fine. And I was doing the pod script at that point, and I was like, great. I was above Ian. I was like, this is going to be a really nice pod. And then Danny Welbeck ruined my life. And I was just like,
I've always liked Danny Welbeck.
Yeah. I was going to say,
me too. I
fellow
love
Danny.
Mank. Such a nice guy as
no,
well.
No Christmas cards for him this year. He's in big trouble with me.
That guy Welbs. So. Go on, lad.
You need to move on. You need to move on.
I know, Jules, and I will. I will move on tomorrow. But today I'm going to just wallow in Danny Welbeck self-pity until I feel better in the morning.
Ian, for you, what's your target now? Because I imagine you must have had to reassess your targets about 50 times this season.
Beat me.
Like I said last week, it's just to improve the worst rank that I've had since I've been playing seriously, which I think from memory was about 186K.
Oh, so you could beat that.
So I'm in line to probably finish about there if I have a good game week 38, yeah. So that's why I just feel a little bit underwhelmed, to be honest. I mean, I've not been inside the top 200,000 all season. This is my highest rank all year. But normally, I'd be aiming for much better than that. So, yeah, I think I'm going to have some fun in game week 38 anyway. So, we'll talk about
Ian,
that
this
a
might
bit
make
later.
You feel a bit better. We've actually had some fan mail in for you.
Yeah,
oh,
we
really?
Have.
So, yeah. I got sent this on Instagram, and Sam also
I be worried?
Got sent this.
I feel worried.
No, it's really, really nice.
It's
really
not for
nice.
Your looks either.
And it, yeah.
That makes a change.
So this has come in. I'll just read you snippets of it because it is quite long. I'll read you the start. It says, Jules has gotten enough sun from the FPL gods this season. Ian became a bit of a spirit animal to me when he joined the pod earlier this season
I'll
as your
that.
Pet project. It was quite convenient that you were doing really badly, wasn't it? Because it was a good way of pretending that you were coming on the pod not to cover me for maternity. So,
yes.
And then we've just not been able to get rid of you ever since because we're all invested in your climb. So it said you were loitering around the 3 million rank and steadily rising to 300K, I believe. Around the same time, I was at 5.7 million. That was game week 13. Pretty awful rank considering this is my 20th FPL season and I should probably know how to play this game by now. Since then, I got 22 green arrows in a row. Why am I reading this if I'm reading a bedtime story to my daughter? Now sub 200,000 myself. Some highlights of mine during that run. A green arrow in game week 29 without a free hit with 7 players. Wow. In game week 33, I was at 23 points with 1 game and 1 player left. Fortunately, that was Cole Palmer against Everton, who I'd captained. Cherry on the top was that I was visiting UK then and happened to see that game in an English pub, the first time I had ever done so. And I will read this because this is just quite nice. It's been a pleasure tuning in every week and what turned out to be one of the most memorable seasons for me. I hope Ian finishes strong so that we can happily walk into the distance holding hands.
You've
got to have long arms because it sounds like he doesn't live in England as the sun finally sets after game week 38. However, this is my favourite line. Last week, I transferred in Adam Webster. Just to show that it's real. I also couldn't afford anyone else. Juha. Ian,
Juha.
Your response.
Yeah, metaphoric holding hands across countries, continents, wherever you are, my friend. I am so glad that you've had a fantastic season and recovered your position. And if we've helped even a little bit, that makes me very, very happy. So thank you.
I'm not sure the rest of us have helped, Ian, just you.
Yeah. if he'd listened to me, he'd brought in Joel Veltman rather than Adam Webster. To be fair,
he couldn't afford
that.
It. 4.2 million, that's all there was to spend.
Well, the only reason I could afford to do that was because I did Guardiola from Walker, and otherwise I might have been in the Adam Webster, I wouldn't say fan club, but brigade. Anyway.
You could be on the newsletter.
Great. What everyone aspires to. The FPL Pod Mini League then, Hijal Mar's 145-point game week sees him maintain his lead at the top of the league, and he's third in the entire game. Stefan got 132. He's now 23 points behind our leader, sitting 13th overall. Ben Tinker is back in third after 139 points on his bench boost this week. Okay, we'll come on to game week 38 in just a moment with some tips for that. But before we do, I just wanted to mark your card about something that we'll be dropping in your email inbox in the weeks following the end of the campaign. Because at the end of the season, FPL will be sending out the FPL Wrapped emails, which will summarise the FPL season as well as a personalised wrap of your individual campaign. So just want to make sure you're subscribed to the email notifications to receive these. Sam, I know that there is no rest for the wicked. You're probably looking forward to this dropping because you're already thinking about next season. But why should we be so excited and make sure we do get these?
These are my favourite bits that come out from the Premier League. So you get one on the 24th of May. That will be just a season review generally about the whole game and how it panned out. Then you'll get another one on the 31st of May, and that will be personalised to you. And it tells you all the things that you've done this season. So like how many points you've spent in hits, how many transfers that you've made, how many points you got this season versus how many points you got last season. It goes through your highest game week of the season, your lowest, which for most is going to be 29, of course. And it also talks about things like your captains, how many times you've captained each player, whether you've been risky with your captaincy decisions, whether you've not been risky with your captaincy decisions, how many times that's paid off or you've gone with the wrong captain, how many points you got on your wild card against the average across the game week and whether you should have played it somewhere else. It basically summarizes the whole season in a nutshell, just in terms of what you did. And I like it because it means that you can use it to kind of plan for next season and think about what went well and what you might want to change.
As I said, Sam already thinking about next season when the rest of us are having a holiday and trying to do anything but think about FPL for just a couple of weeks. But before then, of course, game week 38, strategy. Surely your strategy at this point is just pick the best player with the best fixture from that week. We don't have to do any long-term planning. Jules, you've become such an expert, but it doesn't matter this week.
Vision.
Just one game week. Yeah, vision of one game week. At this stage, it kind of depends, Sam, doesn't it, a little bit on what you're trying to do. Are you trying to protect rank? Are you trying to push up? Are you trying to go risky? I get the feeling you're going to go risky, that's for sure.
Yeah, go bold, go home. It's one of those weeks, isn't it? If you don't try in the final week, then you're definitely not finishing where you want to finish. Unless you're Jules, and then you're already at a rank where
Jules,
want to play it safe.
Yeah, I think there's a part of me that want to play safe. There's one
boring
mini league, especially. I know there's one
boring
mini league where
boring,
I'm top,
Jules,
which
boring
is a big, big one with 100 people, more than 100 people in, that I would want to win. But
Jules,
the way,
how
really
many are you top of most of your mini leagues? You must be.
Yeah, yeah. First or second, to be fair. I mean, not the big, big ones, you know, even our mini league that we have, I'm 150, I think, in that. But yeah, the ones that are important with all the friends and all the family, et cetera, are doing well. But there's one in particular where it's really tight. I think the guy behind me is just 10 points or 5 points. So for that, you just have to play safe. Again, I know it's boring.
I know.
But if you were in my position, which you're not, which I think you've never been, and might never be ever in your FPL career, Ian.
I finished higher than where you are now.
Me too.
I know you have. But right now, you're not.
Not me.
So, yeah, I know that too.
By the way.
Yeah.
I'd love to be boring on the final day. I'm going big like Sam. You got
to
roll the dice, yeah.
You have to. But yeah,
I'm looking forward
to
the transfers section, actually, to hear what
you're
doing.
How can you go bigger than Adam Webster? Like, where are you going after that?
I mean, I'm not sure Adam Webster could be qualified as going big. That was going stupid.
Right, should we move on from Adam Webster? I'm sure Ian certainly wants to move on from him. Ian, are you playing him this week very quickly?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
That's a lie. You're benching him.
Yeah. No, 100% you're benching him.
No,
big or go home. And Ian's big move is playing Adam Webster.
Please play Adam Webster. I'll be delighted if you do
it's
that.
It's Adam Webster or Dan Byrne. So one of them will start.
Okay, big conundrum for you there. Also a reminder, if you are listening, we've had a joke this season that I've left all my chips to the end. I'd like to say I think it's actually paid off, to be honest, because I've had such a big climb. But if you still have a chip left, I don't, I'd like to point out, then make sure you do play it because obviously you can't keep it for next season. There's quite a few chips in play at the moment, over 310,000 bench boosts, over 135,000 triple captains, over 30,000 free hits and more than 30,000 wild cards, which is bonkers because you only get a week to benefit from it. But at least you've pressed the button now. Remember, press the button if you haven't. You can only play one. So if you've left more than one chip for your final game week, well, you don't have the planning that Jules has, do you? Okay, which teams are we targeting this game week then? Who stands out to you, Ian?
I think the teams who have something to play for should be the main consideration. So you've got Manchester City and Arsenal locked in the title race. You've got the likes of Tottenham, Chelsea, Newcastle, Manchester United who all need to win to get in Europe or ensure a place in Europe. So I think those six sides are probably, you know, the main consideration, especially City and Arsenal, who obviously will be absolutely desperate to get 3 points against West Ham for City and Everton for Arsenal, the good fixtures as well. The other team I'd probably keep an eye on are Liverpool, with it being Jurgen Klopp's final home game, and it's against Wolves as well, who have not been brilliant of late. But game week 38 always has a lot of goals. And when you look around the fixtures, even matches like Crystal Palace and Aston Villa or Burnley and Nottingham Forest, you know, matches like that feel like they could have goals in. So, you know, I think there are different ways to go, and obviously we'll go through that. But I think the primary concern should be those title teams and the sides who have got something to play for still.
Yeah, I agree with that, Jules. Do you? I'm potentially going to bring in an Arsenal midfielder because I feel like a lot of people on their wild cards, when I wild carded, won't have an Arsenal midfielder, and that feels quite essential to me this week.
Yeah, you're right, and especially if those teams are playing at home, because you know, last game of the season at home for the ones who still have something to play. So if you're Chelsea, for example, at home to Bournemouth, when you can even catch Spurs in fifth, because Spurs have been really terrible. 1 win and 5 defeats in the last 6. Sorry, Sam, in the league. No, but it's true. And even if Spurs have Sheffield United away, but it's still a decent fixture. I think if you're home, if your team, the team that you're targeting at home and have something to play, it's even better. So I agree with what Ian said. And for Newcastle, for example, for Chelsea, we mentioned, for City, Arsenal, obviously, I think it'd be wise to just make sure that you've got plenty of those players in your team.
Tripling up on Man City and Arsenal, if you can do it, Sam, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trebled up on those guys. And I think actually trebling up on the attackers makes sense if you're not already, haven't already done so. Ian's right. When you look at the stats for game week 38 over the last 13 seasons, the average for goals in those games in 38 has always been higher than the season average for goals per game. So we see quite a substantial growth in that. And when we look at the average for clean sheets across the last 13 seasons, and then in game week 38 of that season, it's significantly different. Like, there's so many less clean sheets in the final week. And of course, this season, we've not really seen that many clean sheets as it is. So going heavy on the teams that have something to fight for and the attacking players within those teams is the most logical option going into the final week.
I think on a strategy point as well, it's worth having a look at your mini league rivals too. I mean, if I take mine and Sam's situation as an example, I'm 3 points ahead of Sam. There's two ways of playing this. Either you're getting players who Sam haven't got and try and push on, which Sam will definitely do against me, I'm sure, to try and get ahead of me. Or I can have a look at Sam's team and just select players who Sam has got to block her. So if you're having a look at your mini league and you've got a rival like I've got and you're thinking, right, do I want to be ahead of them? Do I need to block them? Do I need to get in front of them? It's definitely worth having a look at the teams around you to see who they've got and try and find ways to be different or the same, depending on where you are in the mini league.
What strategy are you going to take against Sam? I'm fully invested in this battle.
I know. That's all I want to know is who by them to finish bottom.
To be honest, I don't like blocking. It's not really in my nature. So I'll be looking for players who Sam hasn't got to try and push on and finish even further ahead. That'd be my mindset. But I could understand people in the same situation looking and seeing Sam's got Saka, thinking, right, I'll get Saka in. Sam's got Mateta, who may well do well against Aston Villa. So looking to get him in. So there's options to play it these different ways. I mean, the other thing is you could have a look and think, right, well, Saka's got a slight injury, so maybe I'll get another Arsenal midfielder, which is more likely to be my tactic, and push on that way. We've come to this stage of the season. Obviously, some people will play for overall rank and that'll be the main concern, but a lot of us will be in mini leagues and will be aiming to finish, you know, in a certain position. We might be aiming to win the mini league, to jump from second to first on the final week. I mean, I've got fantastic memories of, was it, about 2016, Olivier Giroud got a hat trick against Aston Villa on the final day of the season, and he was my captain. And it's my best FPL memory ever. So in order to win the lottery, you've got to buy a ticket. That's my mindset anyway.
Yeah, I think for me, it's similar. Like, I'm obviously going to go a bit rogue. I have been for the last few weeks to try and close the gap on Ian, and it's sort of worked in the last few weeks. Like, we're 3 points between us now. And like I said, had it not been for Danny Welbeck, things would have been quite different this week. And then I think I'd have been more inclined to play it safe. However, I'm also not happy with my overall rank. And so that's another factor. It's not just I've got to go different against Ian. I still do not want to finish outside the top 100K. Like, that for me would be an actual disastrous season. So I need to go a bit different to what everyone else is doing. I need to think about how I manage my team, take some chances that could get me above Ian, but also can improve my overall rank.
But then you have to be careful because you didn't captain Haaland this week and last week.
I know.
Right?
Yeah,
but because you wanted to go rogue, but you lost all those points where you'll be above Ian now, had you captained him like we all did.
Yep.
Some of us to be safe, others because we just thought it's Haaland and you can't.
Sam is very strong on this, Jules. I'm looking forward to
No, 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 no. I know, but I know what she's going to say because we know her now. But I see, because it's just to counter the argument of let's go rogue for the last game, because it can also be counterproductive. That's all I meant.
No, totally. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you know that going into the last two, well, the last 3 weeks, I've taken risks with it. I didn't captain Palmer the week that everyone else was. I went for Sun. That one actually basically it leveled out. It was at one point between them. The last 2 weeks, it's definitely backfired. And like, realistically, Haaland, I would have been in such a better position had I just gone for him. But at the same time, you kind of have to look at it and go, what's my best opportunity to make a difference to my overall rank? And when I look at my team, it's so template for the final week. Like, everybody that you could probably want to have, with the maybe the exception of Kai Havertz, is in there already. And so I'm looking at them thinking, what's the only way that I can make this a bit different? And so it's a risk reward thing, because if you pick the right captain on the final day and they go off and they're lowly captained, that jump can be massive and it could take 100k off your rank. But Haaland's not going to do that. Haaland will give me some rank gain, but he won't give me a massive. So it depends on how brave I'm feeling.
You talk about being brave. Would you take points hits in this final week, Sam?
I have done in the past. I don't think I will this week, because I look at my team and, like, genuinely, because I've just bench boosted, I'm really struggling for how to even field 11, because I would happily play all of my bench this week as well. And I think that's one of the negatives of holding the bench boost so late in the season, is that you have this amazing squad of 15 and you look at them for the final week and go, well, they still look great as they did last week. So I don't think taking hits is necessarily a bad thing, particularly if you are trying to gain rank. I think if you're trying to just hold position or secure what you've got, then I'd avoid the points hits as much as you can. But if you are chasing and there's a real standout player that you don't have, then I'd take the hit for it.
What kind of standout players this weekend do you think would be worth a hit if you didn't have them?
I think the Arsenal midfielders, like we've talked about. I think Kai Havertz there is about the best pick of them, with Saka's slight doubt. I mean, to be fair, Saka's been a doubt, it feels like, for the majority of this season.
There's no way he's not starting.
Exactly.
I took him out when he was a doubt, and then he returned like the following three game weeks.
So. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, learn the lesson on that one maybe. But yeah, Havertz, I mean, no one's earned more points, I think, over the last 12 game weeks, something like that. He's got 8 goals, 8 assists during that time. He's only 7.5 million as well, so he's easier to get in than Saka, who's more expensive. The other Arsenal midfielder that's intriguing is Leandro Trossard. 6.5 million, so a million cheaper. 5 goals in his last 7 appearances. The only issue with him, he doesn't play the full 90. In fact, over the last 7 appearances, he's only made it to even the 80-minute mark once. So if you're worried about minutes, then maybe he's not the way to go. But I think, you know, like you said before, Kelly, a lot of managers will have sold an Arsenal midfielder on their wild card. So that feels like it could well be a priority for game week 38 with that game against Everton. Mohamed Salah's the other one for me. I mean, he is tricky to get. He's 13.4 million, of course. He's extremely expensive. But incredibly, he's only now 23.2% owned. And I'm sure a lot of that will be managers who have stopped playing as well, to be fair, because he's such a popular asset towards the start of this season. So in terms of active managers, he's going to be a big differential. He got 13 points in his last home game against Tottenham. Historically, over his Liverpool career, his best performances have come at home. He got double digits against Wolves away in game week 5 as well, with 2 assists. So yeah, I'd love to be able to own him on the final day, that's for sure.
Brings us on nicely to the best 1 week punts, because it seems bonkers to say that Mo Salah is a 1 week punt, but everyone in a way is a 1 week punt now, but particularly him given his up and down form recently. Jules, who else would you say, if you could go a little bit rogue, maybe someone outside the box, who would you be thinking of this week?
I think it's really hard to, at this stage of the season, to go for one of those picks. I like Trossard, but again, he's not really outside of the box thinking pick. I checked on Michael Olise last night, and he's still owned only by 2.4% of the manager. despite having been maybe the best player in the league in the last two games, scoring 16 and 12 points in the last two game weeks.
Trossard's only 2.5% owned, to
be fair.
Yeah, he's low.
It's mad. And even Mateta is still very low. I think he's owned 5. By less 6. Than less than 6% of the matches. When in the last 10 games, he's been on fire. He's been, like we said it before, like turned into Ronaldo the Brazilian. So it's those players, maybe more than going for an Adam Webster. I mean, you know. But just, we don't even need, I think, to think too far of like somebody who's never done anything great this season, maybe. He's just those players that are still very low-owned that are massive differential. In a game like that, like we said, that a lot of the games are going to finish 3-2, 3-3, 4-3 with loads of goals. So don't think too much about defenders. But in terms of attacking players, you can go and go for people really low-owned that can make a massive difference to your team.
Okay, 1 week punts, I'm aware, is quite similar to a differential. I know none of you are going to want to give away your differentials at this point, but any other names?
I mean, I can't wait for Jules and Sam to talk about the differentials, to be honest. But
yeah, we'll come on to that in just a moment. Oh, Ian, I hadn't seen your differential for last week. I forgot about that. Sam, any 1 week punts before we come on to your favourite topic?
More the fact he got a point, which anyway, I'm sure we'll do that at the moment, yeah.
I had a few written down.
No response from Sam.
No, I'm not going to respond. It's genuinely unlucky, isn't it? Like, come on, get injured in the last training session. More on that later. I had some of the ones that the guys had said already. I had Elise and Mateta written down. I mean, he's at Fulham as well. He was great for us all early on in the season. And I think, you know, he's still very lowly owned at 4.4%. So if you want to take a little bit of a punt on him, then I think he's nice, given it's Luton that are coming and, you know, they're going to go and have to score a lot of goals. So that might leave some opportunity for him to get in behind. And then I really like Callum Hudson-Odoi and Morgan Gibbs-White as final punts on the final day for Nottingham Forest. Like, their underlying stats really, really good, both of them. Again, nice fixture versus Burnley. So I think that there's some really good opportunities to go for punts that are going to work for you on the final day because they've got a nice fixture, but also have really nice underlying stats and good form. So I think there's plenty of choice out there.
Okay, well, we can't really talk about that anymore because now Ian's teased the differentials. Ian, do you want to... In fact, I'm going to let you do this section as someone that has hosted the podcast. It sounds like you're so excited about this. Tell us just how the differentials went last week for everyone.
I just thought it was hilarious, to be honest. So just to run through our selections to remind everyone, Jules, you picked... Did you pick in the end? Was it
Callum Wilson, who got injured just before...
Did he, yeah. So he ended up with zero, was that...
He ended up injured.
Right.
It's not, you know, it's nobody's fault if the guy got injured.
I mean, I'm thinking of the players who may have taken your advice more than anything, to be honest, and just feeling slightly sorry for
them. At least it was not 15,000 for, you know, just 3 points more.
Sure. Sam, I mean, yours would have gone better than that, surely. Who did you go for?
Well, mine also got injured.
Oh, really?
So I don't think we could have got any more unlucky, Jules, really. Like, we picked the two players that were quite popular picks going into this week and both of them get injured in the build-up.
Just to sort of spell
it
out.
I had Richarlison.
And he got how many points?
We got naught because he's injured now for the rest of the season, Ian. But that also, I mean, to be fair, there was a lot of managers that did, not because I suggested it, but a lot of managers that were going for Richarlison on the back of his performance against Liverpool.
I'll ask you the question.
Thank you.
How many points did your differential get?
Well, I picked Bernardo Silva and he got 13 points, which is 13 more than Jules and Sam's differentials put together.
Yeah, he got 2 assists and 2 bonus as well as the clean sheet against Fulham. Then he got 2 points against Spurs as well. So that will help Ian out in the overall rankings. Jules and Sam, in fact, Sam, you'll know, where does it currently stand with the differentials between yourself and Jules at the moment?
Well, nothing's changed from last week because, of course, neither of our differentials got any points.
I mean, yeah, fair point.
So it's still very, very tight.
If only I could do maths and knew that whatever last week plus zero means nothing changes.
So Jules has got 164 points out of his differentials this season. I've got 175. So Jules needs 11 points.
It's not going to happen.
On the final day, I've had 19 successful picks. Jules has had 14. So I think I'll probably win the differentials because I can't win anything else. So
you've got to win something.
Take this. Yeah, exactly. Ian, to be fair, would you like a little summary of Ian?
I mean, I'd be interested to know, you know, ones I have picked versus ones you've picked, you know, in terms of points per pick or something. I don't know.
8, 10, 12.
Please leave in maths, Sam doing live maths.
No, please
always
don't.
Leave in when I do live maths.
Ian's managed 94 points out of his differential since he joined us. He's made 14 picks, and of those, 8 of them have come good. And actually, when they have come good, they've come very good. He's had 4 of the 8 have got double digit hauls. So actually, Ian is quite good.
That seems
at
good,
differentials.
Though.
The only thing I would remind Ian of is the Robinson pick of a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because,
great,
you know,
pick.
You want to talk about us and our injured players, but in a double game week, what did he get? Oh, that's right, naught. He got no points. So there you are.
Well, yeah. Although I was accused of getting minus points because there was a major point of controversy where you all thought I'd pick Jack Robinson rather than Anthony
Guys, this
Robinson.
Isn't a reflection on the whole of the differentials across this season, and we are running out of time. So I'm going to interject here and ask for your differentials for this week. Ian, as you did so well last week, who have you got for us this week?
I've gone very, very, very differential. This player is owned by...
How differential?
This player is owned by 0.3% of the game.
Oh, my God.
He's 4.8 million. He's returned in back-to-back game weeks for the first time this season. In his last home game, he got 12 points with a goal and assist. And actually, he's got 3 double-digit returns at home this season, which is second in his team only to Mohamed Salah. My differential pick this week is Harvey Elliott.
I wanted to see if Sam could guess it because she was desperately trying to work out who that was. Yeah. Did you think it was him?
In my head, I was thinking it could be Callum Hudson-Odoi until the last minute, and then I was like, no, it's not. It's Harvey Elliott because he was one I considered.
Yeah, having watched Liverpool in that Spurs game, he was so good. Jurgen Klopp said as well that his one regret from this season is not giving him more minutes. So I think that means he's pretty certain to start in this final game. He's had a share of set pieces as well. That's how we got the assist against Aston Villa. So yeah, I just like him as a pick for the final day.
I like it. Okay. Someone tweeted me recently and said it should be ladies first for differentials. We've already gone with Ian first, so I'll go ladies second. Go on, Sam.
It's all right. Jules can go next because he's behind. So I'll let him have the opportunity to pick first just in case.
Okay. So my pick is also a Liverpool player. It's Cody Gakpo.
What's the mine was? Damn it.
That's too bad for you then.
right, I'll pick another one.
Owned by only 2.5%, so it's not as good as Harvey Elliott and Ian's pick, but still, he's the starter now in that position ahead of Darwin. He scored in the last 2 games, so against Spurs and at Villa as well. So 2 returns back-to-back for him. And I think he seems to have found his confidence again and that kind of mojo, and maybe the fact that he's got a Dutch manager coming over, which would be good for him next season, you would think, maybe has given him a bit of a boost. But he looked really sharp, I thought, against Villa too and against Spurs. So yeah, Gakpo, 7.1 million, so it's a bit expensive, to be fair, but really, really low ownership.
I like it. Sam, was he one of yours?
He was mine, yeah.
Okay, of course. Why change the habit?
I know. It's so easy, though, to blame me.
In which case, I'll go back to one of the players that I love having the most in my team and is a differential for me over Ian at the moment, and go for Mateta. So he's more heavily owned than these two at 5.6%. And he's going to cost you 5 million. He scored in all 6 of his Selhurst Park appearances under the new manager, and in that time has got 54 points from 8 goals and an assist. He's also the top scoring forward in fantasy since Glasner arrived, and since game week 25, he's claimed 85 points across those 13 matches that he's played. I think for me, Crystal Palace are the one team that don't really have a lot to fight for, yet I think we'll do really well this game week because it's a nice home fixture. They're building on something really good. They've got all of their star men back in the team and fully fit and available now. And they're coming up against an Aston Villa side who have already secured Champions League football for next season. So I suspect we'll have a good fight on our hands from Crystal Palace in that one. Averaging currently 8.6 points per match, Mateta.
Well, I'm sure I picked him before.
Come on now.
I mean, come on. We should not be allowed to pick twice a player for differential. Sam does it all the time, like Havertz and whoever, like 5 weeks on, 6 weeks on. Hey.
Don't start this again. We're running out of time, Jules. How many times? Also, I've just remembered why. You know, I said I wasn't aware that Joel Veltman scored. I've just remembered why I was busy on Saturday. I was at Wolves versus Crystal Palace because, you remember, I also texted and said I was watching that very nervously as Mateta, particularly in that first half, I thought he was going to go huge. And I was very aware that both Sam and Jules had him. So you actually got a little bit unlucky with how many points he got this week, I've got to say. Yes, Palace, definitely one to watch this game week and potentially for next season as well. I think we could be talking about them a lot over the summer. But anyway, back to the final game week. Let's quickly discuss captains. Sam, you're going to go rogue. Who are you going with?
Son Cole Palmer at the moment.
Oh,
okay.
I don't know why I'm telling you this, Ian, because this is only going to help you. It's a home
Well, you're helping
fixture.
The masses. You know, I'm taking notes, but you know, that's what you're here for.
I'm at that point now where I'm kind of like, look, I'm fully invested in the rogueness of my decisions since, well, for the last, what, 3 or 4 game weeks. Cole Palmer, I very nearly captained him this week. It was only the 2 away fixtures that put me off because away from home, he's not been so good this season. But at home, he is unbelievable. So for me, I think Cole Palmer is probably where I'm going to go. Obviously, Erling Haaland is the obvious pick.
He's the obvious pick and he's probably where I'm going. I'm guessing Mr. Safe Jules is going to go there as well.
Yeah, I have to.
Unless you want to get Vardiol. Jules, bring him in.
I mean, he's my transfer. I have to bring him to the team like I should have done 3 weeks ago. It would be Walker for Guardiola and then Haaland captain.
Oh, Jules has just rounded off transfers and who he's bringing
You're
in.
Welcome.
Go on then, Ian.
Bish, bash, bosh. If I can get to Salah, I am tempted to captain him to be different because it's not just me versus Sam, clearly. It's also me.
Oh, it is.
It's me versus myself to try and beat that worst rank that I spoke about before. And captaining Haaland, like we've talked about, doesn't get you the jump that you need. So I've been reluctant to go different in the last few weeks, but I feel like game week 38 is the time to go a little bit different. I mean, the other option is going for another one of the City players as well. I own, at the moment, KDB and Foden, so... You know, if I didn't go away from Manchester City, if you think they're going to do particularly well against West Ham, which I think is a pretty surefire thing, you could pick a different City player.
You'd have to sell KDB, would you, to get Salah?
I would do, yeah. Yeah, so obviously I wouldn't be able to do that then. But if I kept him, I could.
Okay, Sam, what's your transfer going to be? You mentioned you kept him.
I don't know, Kelly.
Oh, no, that's my game.
That's not true.
No, genuinely, I actually don't know. So
really?
I keep looking. I promise you.
Really?
So I keep looking at my... I promise you, Ian.
You're helping the masses, remember?
I know, but I look at my team and genuinely I'm like, I really like all 15 of you.
They tune in for your guidance, remember that?
Honestly, I'm really struggling with it. I am pondering on change Saka for Havertz, but I know that could absolutely come down like a house of cards around
sideways,
me,
that, isn't it?
It's very.
I think I'm going to go Havertz over Saka as my transfer, though.
If I didn't have either, I would go Havertz over Saka. But I've already got Saka, and it does feel a bit weird to sell Saka, even though he's flagged. So that's something that I'm kind of pondering on. But like, genuinely, I'm looking at my team, and I can't even play Kukurea, who's got Bournemouth at home. So what am I doing? I might end up burning the transfer on the final day. That's where I am with it at the moment.
Is that an okay thing to do, Sam? You don't have to use a transfer, do you?
No, I look at my team and I'm like, maybe I could sell Petrovic and get a different goalkeeper for the final day. But even then, he's got a good opportunity for a clean sheet at home to Bournemouth. So that feels a bit ridiculous. I might end up burning it.
What happened to go big or go home?
We'll go with the captain. We'll go with the captain, Ian. It's going to have to be a bold
captain. He's worked so well, the captaincy, for the last 2 weeks.
It was so big and it's got smaller throughout the duration of this pod, hasn't it? Sam, go on.
The only team that I don't have investment in that I wish I did is Liverpool. Right. So, but I'm looking at my midfield of Palmer, Foden, Son and Saka. Now, I could sell Son. He is so off of it at the moment that I could sell Son and go for a Liverpool midfielder. I don't think I can get to Salah easily because I invested in Kieran Trippier last week.
Did he start?
I can't believe we haven't.
Oh, he started once.
Yes, he did start.
He started once. He got a grand total of 3 points, and I can't believe we've forgotten to mention it.
I think he got a grand total of 2 points, didn't he, Kelly?
Oh, okay. I gave him an extra point there.
I mean, that's an extra point.
Sympathy point.
Because of the extra Manchester United goal.
Sorry.
Yeah, it was wonderful. It was a fun pun, and it was a fun differential to go for, but it didn't pay off. So maybe Sun goes, but then I just don't want to have no Spurs on the final day, like against Sheffield United. Like, surely Sun can score on the final day against Sheffield United. I don't know. Maybe a Liverpool player. Maybe I go Saka to Havertz. Maybe I burn it. We'll just find out.
We could have filled this whole pod with Sam just sitting there doing the inner workings of her brain while she tries
to decide.
It's
terrible, isn't it? It's terrible.
Just quickly, so obviously we've heard about the rivalry between yourself and Ian. Who's on top at the moment in FPL family? I think I probably know the answer. Yeah, okay, it's Lee.
Yeah,
that
it's
face
not
tells
Sam.
Me that.
It's not Sam.
Can you overtake him?
Kelly, who's your money on between Ian and Sam?
I'm not a betting person.
Come on, you like, who do you think is going to finish bottom?
Do you know what? I think it's going to be... I think they're going to be within 5 points of each other. In fact, I think it could be even closer.
Tight.
I think it could
even
come down to two or 3 points.
Wow.
It depends. If Sam does something a bit bonkers, a bit left field, which it sounds like she's going to do, it could go really well or it could go spectacularly wrong. So I'm going to put my money that I wouldn't bet on. I wouldn't put money on it, but I'd have to go Ian. What do you think, Jules?
What about Sisterhood?
I'm not saying I want Ian to do it.
Nah, I'll go for Sam. I think Sam will find something somewhere. And it will end up as a draw. They will draw each other. So she will make up the 3 points, but they will be on the same level.
She'll make up the 3 points, but then I've taken a minus four, so end up with a point behind probably.
No, she's burning that transfer, she says.
I don't think I'll take a minus four. Lee, I closed the gap on Lee this week, but I think it's still a bit too far. I'm about 40 points behind him. He's had a bad couple of weeks and I keep clawing bits back, but I think I'm too far behind him now to catch him. We'll just have to find out, won't we? Ian and I are together on Monday for the fantasy show. So whatever happens on Sunday.
I feel really bad that I couldn't do that show because now you two in a studio together could...
We'll have a hug, won't we, Ian? We'll just have a hug. Yeah. We'll be friends by
Pray
Monday.
For producer Tom is all I'm saying.
We'll be friends on Monday. We just won't like each other on Sunday.
Talk to each other on Sunday. Yeah. There's no friends.
Only between the hours of 4 p.m. and 6 p.m.
I can't even... engage with it because my daughter's doing a dance show on Sunday, so I will be fully out of it. I will not see any of it. So it will only be literally as I pick her, as she comes out at like 7:30 and finishes the show, that I'll be able to check what's gone on.
Wow, that will be horrible.
It's
I wouldn't horrendous. Be able to resist getting my
phone two
out of my
seasons
pocket.
In a row that's happened now.
That's 10 matches to catch up on as well, isn't it? There's a lot to digest quickly.
And what do
that
I check?
Should not
first?
Be allowed. That should not be allowed.
Tell me about it, Jules. What do you check first? Do I check whether I've beat Ian? Do I check my overall rank? Or do I check whether Spurs made the Europa League?
No, Ian.
There's a lot of things to check.
Trust me, if you finish bottom of our mini league, like you will never hear the end of it.
Are you going
to sack
me?
I'd just pull your daughter out of the show, to be honest.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Sorry, darling, you can't do any dancing this weekend because mummy's got
dance
really busy things to do.
Put the TV on, put the football on, get her to dance next to the TV. That can be the show she's going to do.
Three dance shows this weekend, Kelly. Three dance shows.
See, she doesn't need to do the third one. She can do the other two. Ian, I'm presuming you're going to be at Manchester City on Sunday.
I am, yes. Yes.
Yes. Jules, yourself, same?
Arsenal.
Oh,
Sunday,
no.
Yeah, to see the champions.
Oh. Okay, well, we'll find out. I'm, for the first time ever, not working the final game week. Ian's waving at me.
And on transfers.
Oh, God. Always forget something. Why change the habit of a lifetime?
I'm sure Sam,
sorry, go on.
At least
I really
want
to know. I do, yeah.
So
I thought it was Salah. No.
Well, I think I'm going to take a minus four, but not necessarily for Salah. If I do Salah, that means I have to take out
minus
Kevin De Bruyne.
Minus four, I'll be ahead of you going into the final day.
You would. Kevin De Bruyne would have to leave my team. And I feel like City against West Ham is actually the best fixture of the final day because of City's form, because of West Ham's form. So I really don't want to take out a City player, but I'd really like to have Salah. And if I did that, I'd be taking out Isak for Gianfilippo Mateta, just to block Sam a little bit as well. The other
There's
option...
There's no point in blocking me if I'm winning.
Hey?
If I'm winning, because you've taken a minus four, what's the point in blocking me?
Because that just then removes those players. So you can line
Sam,
up how
Sam
many players
Isak
there are
as well.
And just move them to the side. Well, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
She's got Isak and Mateta. So you block only one of them too.
That's fair. But it's a way of releasing funds to be able to do the Salah transfer. The other thing I could do is bring in Cody Gakpo for Isak and bring in an Arsenal midfielder. I think I can afford Kai Havertz. So it'd be Anthony Gordon to Kai Havertz. And Alexander Isak to Cody Gakpo for a minus four. So they're the two things I'm thinking of.
And Sam is processing that in her brain.
My brain's
as
just gone into
speak.
Overtime.
And that is the perfect place to leave it, I think. If anyone cares, I think I'm going to do Bruno Fernandes to Kai Havertz is my planned transfer. But never know, I could change my mind between now and the deadline. Well, guys, thank you so much. The very best of luck. Looking forward to seeing how it all pans out. Jules, pains me to say it, but I'm rooting for you. I'd love
you
to finish inside the top 5K.
And you're in the
or
top
even 50K. Higher. Yes, we can, and then we can look down on the others, yeah?
Yeah, who? Who are the others even?
You make
oh
me
yeah,
feel
they're
sick.
Too low, okay. I can't see. We can't see them.
Yeah, good luck finishing inside the top 200K, guys. You'll finish that. We're kind of semi-joking. That's where they are at the moment. No, it's been a pleasure. Enjoy the final day as well. One of you is going to see a title and a trophy lifted. It's in Manchester City's hands, of course. But the big question is, who is going to be lifting the FPL trophy as well? If the winner of FPL listens to this podcast, make sure you do get in contact with us next week. And if you've got any nice fan mail like we had this week as well, we can't include it all, but it is lovely to hear from you. So thank you very much to Juha for sending that's in. A reminder, if you still haven't joined the FPL on Mini League, why not join now? IB3WLK. You can be in it for a grand total of about 4 days. Your final deadline is on Sunday, 2:30 p.m. 90 minutes ahead of all of the final matches on the final day. I'll be back with the fantasy show on Friday. I've got two guests alongside me. I think it's Praz and Az. And then, as mentioned, Ian will be back on Monday. And the podcast will also be out on Monday too. So plenty of fantasy content, plenty to look forward to for one final time this season, everyone. Good luck. Bye-bye.